The Fan on Demand. The truth hurts, especially when he hits you over the head with it. This is the Jeff Blair Show. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Two of a kind. For your information, we're two of a kind.
Two of a kind. It's my observation, we're two of a kind.
Like peas in a pod.
And birds of a feather, alone or together, you'll find that we are two of a kind.
In for Jeff Blair. That's George Russick. I'm Jeff Sammet. Sportsnet 590. The Fan will be with you until noon. Lots of baseball on the show for you. Later on in the hour, Jesse Litch, formerly of the Toronto Blue Jays, is going to join us. Interesting experience for Jesse yesterday. Going back to the Rogers Centre for the first time, not as a player. So, wonder what that perspective was like for Jesse.
And he hopes to be a player again, yeah. Hopefully sooner than later. Maybe he should learn a trick pitch. I don't know, a knuckleball?
Maybe. I think he's played around with that. We'll ask Jesse about that later on in the hour. In an hour's time, scheduled to join us, Chris Cluey, NFL punter, claims the Minnesota Vikings cut him in May 2013 due to his vocal support of same-sex marriage. Investigation done by the Minnesota Vikings, not to Chris's liking. It's a massive story, and Chris is going to join us. Today is the day, I believe, that he is suing the Minnesota Vikings. So we'll talk to Chris Cluey. He's scheduled to join us in an hour's time. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays getting back at it, rebounding from a 14-1 loss to the Boston Red Sox on Monday with a win last night, 7-3 over the Boston Red Sox, calling the game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, as he is wont to do. You know him, you love him, you could thank us later. Jerry Howarth joining us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And Jerry, Jay Happ with the start. And I don't think you could ask for anything more. We were talking about it a few moments ago with Eric Smith and Andrew Walker. You can't ask for more out of a fifth starter in Jay Happ, who's now 8-5. He goes 6 innings yesterday of shutout ball. Jay Happ has really been solid this year.
Well, he really has. And it's the old baseball cliche. It all starts with a well-pitched game by a starter. And Happ goes 6-plus, and he ends up with giving up no runs on 7 base hits, and he got some great defense behind him over the first few innings. That's what it is, too, pitching and defense and some timely hitting. It was a perfect game after the 14-1 loss to bounce back, have a character win, now a chance to win the series. But you're right, Happ was very good. He'd been inconsistent. Now if he can hold that line, he's going to be not more than just, he'll be more than just a fifth starter. He'll be someone who they can really rely on down the stretch here.
Jerry, we saw his velocity just throwing faster pitches in general this season. Do you see something mechanically out of Jay Happ that maybe you haven't seen before?
Oh, yes. They've worked on that, George. Pete Walker, Bob Stanley, they've lowered his arm angle just a little bit. Mm. It's given him a little more sink, keep the ball down. It's given him a freer flow delivery, and he's feeling much better for it. And this happened a few months ago, and now maybe he's just hitting his stride regarding the continuity of repeating your delivery. But he is throwing the ball harder. He's keeping it down more, and that was evident yesterday with 8 ground ball outs.
Casey Jansen came into the ballgame yesterday and gave up a 2-run shot. And it's the first home run he's allowed this year for the Toronto Blue Jays. And, of course, he had suffered an illness where he had lost a lot of weight in a very quick amount of time. I'm not even worried about him on the field. Are you worried about him off the field?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, good.
That was a shell of Casey. I saw him just yesterday in the clubhouse before the game, and the word is wan, kind of looks drawn, and still hasn't put back the weight that he lost. He lost about 7-8 pounds. So, no, they have to pitch him. They have to get him in there, get him back into sync. Not that it's spring training all over again, but, no, this is not Casey, but he's fine. It's just that he battled that problem inside, and now he's going to start to come back from that. No, he'll be fine.
Jerry, were you maybe a little disappointed we didn't get to see Aaron Sanchez yesterday come out of the bullpen? Was the game too close, or we might see him tonight? And is it the best that he comes out to start an inning if, in fact, we do see him tonight?
Well, I think John Gibbons will pick a spot where there's not that much at stake. He's a good young pitcher, and he's gone through the minor leagues. But yesterday, for example, you want your veterans out there. You cannot have a situation where you introduce him to a situation like that, and let's say that the Red Sox hit him pretty good, and they win that ball game. Now you have regrets. So I think John will be very good. That's his great strength, too, among many, to pick the right spot for Aaron to come in there for an inning, maybe two, maybe not against Boston, but in a situation where it will be a good time for him that if he gets knocked around a little bit, which is certainly expected, you know, he's just a young kid, then it won't hurt the cause that much, and there will be other people behind him to pick him up.
Jerry, absolutely delighted with Minoru Kawasaki in his first career start at third base. You wouldn't know it from his play last night.
Well, he just had a couple of plays, but he made that one sensational catch down the line in the second inning, that foul ball off the bat of Stephen Drew, and that ended the inning, and Drew later hit a home run. So that's a big out right there, even though the ball was not going to drop in for a base hit. And Munenori then made a couple of nice short hops later on and made good throws. And his plate appearances have been outstanding. You see the experience that he has and a journeyman player. And that's what you need right now until these injured players come back. And he's been very good, though. The country loves him. The Blue Jays love him. And now he's producing, too, at a regular basis, which is nice to see.
He's the voice of the Blue Jays, Jerry Howarth, here on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff. I'm George. Should Juan Francisco maybe worry a little bit the fact that Mooney is playing third base, Jerry, and that they just can't keep putting him out there day in, day out, because Francisco is just not getting it done with the bat and, quite frankly, not really defensively either?
Well, he didn't worry last night because he was at first base, and the real difficulty here with Juan is the strikeouts, and two more yesterday, and in the series he had come in here, his first five at-bats, he was 0-for-5 with five strikeouts, so in the series on the weekend against Texas. And so, no, I think Juan is here on borrowed time right now, and they just don't have any alternatives. They've already used like 10, 12 kids from Buffalo, and he's one of them, and eventually you just run out of time. And so I think he's run out of time, but he has to stay here until Brett Laurie can come back. And it's not an easy situation for John when you see Francisco just being dominated and outpitched by the opposition. But right now they don't have too many alternatives.
With Jerry Howarth on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, that's George. I'm Jeff. Jerry, I think the Blue Jays stumbled upon a nice little recipe for success, offensively speaking. Anthony Gose getting on base, Melky Cabrera coming up eventually, and hitting it right back off of the pitcher. It happened a couple of times to some success. But Anthony Gose getting on base, and when he gets on base, a real spark plug, and we also saw him yesterday bunting successfully.
Well, what you like about him yesterday, first of all, a walk, and his walks are much higher than they've been before, which helps to add to his on-base percentage. Now he's bunting, and this is about the third bunt that he's had that's a base hit, and about the fifth time that he's bunted just to try to get on, and that forms a threat now where they have to respect that on the corners, and that is also going to lend itself to base hits with hard hit balls. And he lined out the left field yesterday. He lined a base hit the left field yesterday, stole two bases. This is the beginning of a 23-year-old who's had a lot of promise, a lot of potential, beginning to realize it. And if he can now begin to work on putting the ball in play, and part of that is bunting and making himself a weapon that way, the rest will take care of itself. He's an outstanding outfielder, too, and we're seeing that every day he's out there.
Jerry, do you see he's a little more mature on the base pass as well, that we're seeing him picking his spots a little better than maybe he was earlier even in the season?
Well, he's more mature, period. And when you look back when you were 20, 21, I know I can put my, they not vary. So now when you like this too and you're a young kid, now you're starting to see the maturity that goes with it. I think Brett Laurie's kind of in that same situation too. He's 24, so it all.
Jerry Howarth, the voice of the Blue Jays. Of course, we're having some phone trouble. We'll try to reconnect with Jerry. Only have another question or two with Jerry. But it is nice to see, and perhaps out of Anthony Gose, that is, and it might be the start of another conversation where we start looking at Anthony Gose and what he brings to the table, and I think he's a very raw talent. Oh, Jerry's back already. Well, Gose is still a very raw talent that we can't expect too much from him. And Jerry, as you say, he's a young kid. We can't expect too much from him, but he's doing what he's doing right now. He's hitting ninth and adding a bit of spark to the lineup. Let's enjoy this while we can and just watch him grow.
Well, I think that's bottom line, and I think that's what's going to happen here.
Now, about Jose Reyes, we wanted to get your thoughts, Jerry, on Jose. It's a solo home run last night. And just looking at his numbers, for this season, a .276 average, on base at .326. He's got 8 home runs, 3 triples, didn't have any last year. He's got 1 more double than last year already. The numbers suggest that he's right on par with last year and would surpass in some categories. But what's your evaluation of Jose Reyes as we talk about a spark plug in Anthony Gost last night, the spark plug factor in Jose Reyes at the top of the lineup?
Well, I like Jose a lot. Good leader, someone who smiles all the time. He has fun playing. But he's getting older, and he's playing these games now on artificial turf. That's one of the problems that you have when you have 81 games at home, and there's nobody to back him up. And I think as time goes on, I think what you'll see the Blue Jays begin to do is maybe acquire players who can play three or four different positions, i.e. like the Tampa Bay Rays do. And we've seen that with other clubs as well, the Oakland Athletics. I think Reyes just needs a little bit more time off, and so what he's doing is very good. But you get worn down here, too. He's been around a long time. Remember, I think this is his 12th or 13th year, and he started very young. He's a four-time All-Star. So like any of us, you just need some downtime, too, a little time off the field. And I don't think he's a 162-game player like he was at one time with the New York Mets. But everything I see, I like about him, and he's a perfect fit for this club right now, and they're very happy to have him.
Jerry, we saw Deonna Navarro had a big home run as well. He's got a .304 on base, .265 batting average for the Blue Jays. What a find he was for Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays. Really a calming influence there in the middle of the order.
Well, he's done a nice job. And I think overall his catching is pretty good, too. And last year I think he played in just 89 games. So, again, the wear and tear factor is critical for him. But Eric Kratz, who's now down in Buffalo, he and Josh Tolley have done a good job as carrying three catchers to get the honor both off the field as a catcher and then still let him swing the bat as a designated hitter. He's a switch hitter, which helps here too. So overall, he's got enough power and enough ability to drive the ball up the gaps to make a contribution. And he's very good too behind the plate, handles the pitchers well. And he's a good contributor to this ball club this year. It was a good acquisition.
Jerry Howarth will listen for you tonight at 7 o'clock. Red Sox and Blue Jays once again. Thank you, Jerry. Good to hear from you this morning.
Okay, you're welcome, and sorry about that scratchy throat I had.
We'll blame it on the technology, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
There's the great Jerry Howarth on the Jeff Blair Show.
I want Jerry Howarth to narrate my life.
Jerry is a very, very fantastic. Special broadcaster. He's fantastic, and we're lucky to have him here in this city. Now, talking about that spark plug factor, Georgia, and we've talked about it in the past. In fact, that very term came up yesterday when talking about Brett Laurie, notably his absence. The Blue Jays needing that spark plug.
And I think it's safe to say that he is the spark plug of this team.
Yeah, in more ways than one.
Right.
Like you have Kawasaki that's good in a locker room that really lifts one's spirits. That's great to have. But, I mean, Brett Laurie seems to be that guy on this team. And you would think that every successful team has one or two of these guys. And I think they've got that in Brett Laurie. But Jose Reyes at the top of the lineup. And as Jerry talked about, he's a bit of an older player now. So maybe he can't be relied upon from the beginning of the season to the very end of the season and all the way through to be that guy. So it's good to have Brett Laurie as that. But again, he's out of the lineup right now. Jose Reyes, Anthony Gost, and we saw it yesterday. And he's a young player. I don't think we can expect that a lot from Anthony Gost. But moving forward, in Brett Laurie's absence especially, who do you expect to be the spark plug for the Toronto Blue Jays? Do you have those expectations for Jose Reyes? Have you had those expectations for Jose Reyes? Same goes for Anthony Gost. Or maybe there's another player that you've got in mind. 416-870-0590. 1-888-660-0590. *590. Follow us on Twitter. At RussickSN590, at JeffSammet590. Love to hear your tweets there. Georgia was certainly nice to see, and I'm not banking on seeing this every night. I mean, it was a complete game all the way through, for the most part, for the Toronto Blue Jays last night in a 7-3 win over the Boston Red Sox. But seeing what we saw out of Jose Reyes at the top, seeing what we saw to Anthony Gost at the very bottom, and what he could bring, that was exciting. That's the Anthony Gost that I've been wanting to see since he's been around the Toronto Blue Jays, since he's been up with the big club. But then again, he is a young kid. So I can't expect this every night, but I was certainly hoping for it.
And Jerry said that just now in the interview. And he's only 23 years old. And when Anthony Gose is on the base pass, you can feel the excitement in the stadium, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
You feel the electricity. Is he going to steal? And you just see how annoyed Jake Peavy was when he gave up a walk to Gose because he knows he's going to have to deal with that guy on the bases. And we see his fantastic defense. And again, I just wish that we could see an entire season of this guy just to see what we have. But again, he's only 23 years old. He still has plenty of time to grow and to develop into that guy. And do you think it's maybe a bit of added pressure for the Blue Jays, or has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, he was one of the big parts of that Roy Halladay deal? And at least the Blue Jays eventually can get something out of the Halladay deal. And it's a guy like Anthony Gose. And if he turns into the everyday center fielder of the Toronto Blue Jays, and he can be a force on the bases, he can be fantastic defensively. And Jay Happ as well. Win-win for the Toronto Blue Jays, but he's only 23 years old, and I think we forget that he's only 23.
Do you mean pressure on Gose?
Not pressure on Gose, but I'm just saying, you know, a lot of fans, you know, when you talk about deals, and not that's important what you get for him, but it would be nice if he pans out into that guy we think he can, and we see flashes of it, and we saw flashes of it last night. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a guy like Jose Reyes again. We're not going to see the batting champ Jose Reyes anymore. And as Jerry said, he's getting old and he's wearing down a little bit, but when Jose Reyes is on, this lineup can be pretty damn scary, and it's still missing guys like Edwin and Lind and Laurie as well. So you talk about spark plugs. If those guys can get their game going, and when the reinforcements come back with some of the healthy bats, this lineup turns scary again, and you just hope Jose Bautista can, you know, he's playing hurt right now. He doesn't look the same. You know he's nicked up, and you know they're pitching around him a little bit as well because Edwin isn't right behind him as well. But if those guys can be that quote-unquote spark plug in this lineup, again, bam, just like that, Jeff, gets pretty damn scary. If they can get that starting pitching from a guy like Jay Happ, hopefully they can, you know, inch towards those Orioles and track them down.
416-870-0590, 1-888-660-0590, or *590. We go to Trevor in Guelph joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. Trevor, that spark plug that we're looking for with the Toronto Blue Jays. I think we saw it last night in Jose Reyes and Anthony Gose. Do you expect to see that with some frequency?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the girlfriend and I have gone out to 4 games this year. We were there last night, and you can see Bautista was frustrated, and when Batista's not leading the team, it's, I feel, always been Reyes that has stepped up and tried to get the team going. You know, Laurie's been good at it when he was in, but I don't think people give Reyes enough credit, and not only that is, you know, he's looking in the stands, pumping the fans up, he's getting all his teammates going. So I look forward to what he can do for us the next few weeks, and look forward to your thoughts.
Trevor, thank you. I think the only thing with Jose Reyes that we find frustrating, we've seen that, examples of that, and I'm glad you pointed them out, Trevor, but I just don't think that we've seen it with enough regularity to look at Jose Reyes and call him that. Just, yeah, and look, he remains in the leadoff position, as I think he should be. Gibby keeps putting him in there. I think he should be there, but we just haven't seen it with enough regularity, and injuries play a part in that, but it's also success on the field, or maybe coming back from injury and getting acclimated once again to playing every day.
I love the fact that how things turn or perception changes when the Blue Jays pick up a victory. A guy like Jose Reyes, as Jerry said, always has a smile on his face. Even when times aren't going that great in the mm-hmm. clubhouse, you see the shots of him having a good time. And that rubs some people the wrong way. I always have a big smile on my face when everybody's all about Jose Reyes after a big night. And, oh, what a fun-loving character. What a good guy to have around. But when they're losing and he's still that fun-loving guy with the smile on your face, that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. It's funny how...
What's he smiling about?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny how just one W changed. Oh, Jose Reyes, what a great guy in the clubhouse. Has a smile on his face. You know, hit a home run. What a spark plug last night. Blue Jays lose 14-1. Did you see Jose Reyes with that smile on his face?
Smiling about it.
What's he smiling about that, Jose 14-1? Reyes?
416-870-0590. 1-888-660-0590. *590. Rocky in Markham on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Rocky, thoughts on the Blue Jays spark plugs, especially without Brett Laurie in the lineup?
It has to be Jose Reyes. When you're losing a game 14-1, Jose Reyes still gives you that positive atmosphere in the dugout and in the clubhouse. That's why I really, and if you think about this, when Jose Reyes came back from the DL, he was batting, what, 230? And now he's batting up to 276. You got to think about that. And not only that, he's been picking up on the stealing too. So you got to put Jose Reyes up there, especially in the starting lineup. That's why Alex Anthopoulos made an upgrade over Yunel Escobar, right, when they made that trade in 2012. Jose Reyes was definitely a key piece for this franchise. So that's what I think.
All right, Rocky, thank you. An upgrade, especially at the top of the lineup, because Escobar never panned out to be that kind of a player. And obviously, there were other reasons to not have Yunel Escobar with the Toronto Blue Jays anymore. But we've discussed that certainly in the past. But looking at, as we mentioned with Jerry, Jose Reyes's numbers, they're fine. He's not going to be the Jose Reyes with the New York Mets when he was extremely successful in some of his more glorious years, in hitting 300 one year, 297, 337 back in 2011. I don't think we're ever going to see that again. But for what we're seeing right now at the top of the lineup, I'm fine with Jose Reyes.
And again, does Melky Cabrera get enough credit for this?
Oh, the protection
behind him. Melky hitting 309, had three hits last night. Melky's 355 on base as well. And just another reason why I just can't see this Blue Jay team without Melky Cabrera in the outfield next season. And Jose Reyes, I'm sure, loves the fact that Melky's his protection. And we always talked about when that big deal with the Marlins was made. When you look at that four, and then when Cabrera was signed in as a free agent, when you have Reyes, Cabrera, Bautista, and when Encarnacion, man, that top four of the Blue Jays is really scary. And if Edwin can come back sooner than later, hopefully Jose can heal his wounds. And Melky just continues to be Melky, and Reyes can stay hot. Man, Jeff, if this lineup, especially the top four guys in this lineup, gets hot, watch out, because the runs will start pouring in for this Blue Jay team.
Yeah, I love to see it, and saw a bit of that last night. Mike in Hamilton on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike, your thoughts on the spark plugs for the Toronto Blue Jays?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
I really like the way Laurie and Reyes kind of feed off each other, and I can't wait till Laurie's back in the lineup to see that again. Although Reyes, you know, right now, I believe he is the spark plug of the team right now. I totally agree with you guys in the fact that Laurie is the spark plug of the team, brings a lot of energy, and I find they really feed off each other great. So thanks for the call.
All right, Mike, thank you. Let's go to Mike in Niagara Falls on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Mike, your thoughts on Anthony Gose?
Yeah, Anthony Gose, I trade him for a set of tires for the bus.
Well, you would get ripped off in the deal, Mike.
Hey, wait, before you click on me.
I'm not quick on you. I was responding to what you said.
Did you see the look on his face when he got picked off the other day for the third time this year? I was in Buffalo.
Imagine a guy who steals bases gets picked off.
I was in Buffalo the other day when he got sent down and put him in right field, and he thought he was Jose Bautista. He went to throw in behind the runner. He threw it in the stands. Where's this guy's arm? He's got zero pull-ups, but every time he's out there, he says, oh, yeah, and he's got a good arm. He's got zero pull-ups in Buffalo or Toronto. He's made more mistakes than I have with women.
Mike, he's 23. Young players make mistakes.
All right, Mike, thank you. And good luck with your love life.
Yeah, Anthony Gose, as we talked about, is a raw talent. And we actually talked about it earlier in the week.
There is some truth in there, in what you heard on that phone call. That, yeah, there was at least a moment that I remember, that I recalled earlier in the week, that had happened prior to our conversation earlier in the week, George, where Anthony Gose was going to field clearly a single, and he didn't get after it quick enough, and that single turned into a double because he didn't get after it, hard enough. That happens, and that is happening, and that's something that has to be rounded out in Anthony Gose's game, absolutely. But right. that's part of my description earlier in this hour of calling him raw, that he hasn't built up enough cred to make a mistake like that. Not that I think that that's allowed necessarily, but even with a veteran player, but he hasn't built up enough cred to allow a mistake like that to happen and for that to be overlooked. That's got to stop.
But again, Jeff, he's only 23 years old, and he's still learning this game, the intricacies of being an everyday center fielder in baseball. And as you mentioned, when you have that much raw talent, that much raw speed on the bases, things do happen. He does get picked off. And all these things eventually, as you said, it's a giant learning experience for a young guy. And I don't understand how the nickname Tony Gose hasn't kicked off either.
Hey, Tony Gose.
Tony Gose.
Hey,
come
Tony,
on.
Tony Gose. Tony Gose wants
Tony
to talk
Gose.
To you. I know.
Tony freaking Ghost just stole a base.
Should be calling him Tony Ghost.
I don't know why Absolutely. That hasn't taken off.
Remember when Brett Laurie was off and stealing bases when he shouldn't be at poor times? And yeah. You know, we talked about how maybe this guy's got to get his head in the game. And with some time and with some leadership that he would follow in the form of Mark DeRosa, for example, that part of his game was rounded out, and hopefully we'll see the same in Anthony Ghost.
And that's a guy in Brett Laurie you mentioned. You kind of expect when he does come back maybe to steal a few more bases because clearly he has the speed, and clearly Brett Laurie also leads the team in hard high fives because I miss him when the way he slaps players on when he scores a run as well, and they always watch out because Brett Laurie's so intense and so fired up. And again, I never realized until he was out how much he really means to this Blue Jays team. Not only his dazzling play at third base, but what he means in the clubhouse. And just as we say that word spark this morning, he is such a spark on this team. But if you have Reyes, Ghost, and then add Laurie to the mix, pretty exciting times down at the Rogers Center.
I saw it last night with Reyes and Ghost. Jim in St. Catharines on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jim, thoughts on spark plugs for the Toronto Blue Jays and who you expect them to be?
Well, spark plug is... I think Munenori Kawasaki's been a spark plug for them. He had an 8-game hitting streak. His batting average is close to Batista's. He doesn't have the power, but his average. He's versatile. He can play second, third, short. He made two great plays last night on the field, and he's made some good plays along second base. So I think he's a bit of a spark plug, and he just never gets mentioned.
Jim, thank you. I think that's, I agree with that. And there was Greg Zahn was talking about it with Jamie Campbell last night on the television broadcast on Sportsnet, that it wasn't just that great play that Willie Mays-like catch. I'm not comparing him to Willie Mays, but you know what I mean. The ball was going over his head, and he was running back, and he caught it going into foul territory on the third baseline. It was not only that catch, but also there was, I don't know if it was a miscommunication or what, but Anthony Ghost didn't have a really good break on a ball that was going into left center field. Melky Cabrera didn't have the great break either, but maybe had a better route to the ball or a better jump. But it was Kawasaki that was yelling at them, that was waving at them, saying, come on, you got to get in. And he did it right away. And Cabrera, you can't hear anything out there, but you certainly saw Kawasaki windmilling, like, come on, get in here. And Cabrera made that catch at a very timely point of the game where the Red Sox were threatening. So it's those little things that we see out of Kawasaki that perhaps doesn't get talked about enough. He's a colorful character, and he comes out with funny quotes here and there. And when he does do an interview, it's all over the place. Everybody's hitting it on Sportsnet.ca. It's all over connected as well. But it's those little things that he does in a game that maybe isn't talked about enough, and Greg Zahn and Jamie Campbell did last night.
Well, and he can take a walk, too, when need be. His plate discipline's pretty good. And although it's just over 100 at-bats, we're not even close to 200 at-bats for Munenori Kawasaki yet. But, Jeff, he's definitely filled in when the Blue Jays needed him desperately when this Brett Laurie absence. And when Brett Laurie does come back, we always talk about how the Blue Jays need an infielder. I'm not saying that Kawasaki's the answer, and can he maintain this for an entire season or even for the rest of this season? But as of right now, do the Blue Jays really have a hole at second when Brett Laurie comes back the way Munenori Kawasaki's been playing?
Not really. I don't think – but at the same time, can you expect these kind of results out of Munenori Kawasaki? Hustle, communication, that stuff – That's part of him. That's the player and the person he is. But this kind of plate production out of Munenori Kawasaki the rest of the year, I don't think you can bank on that, but you can certainly enjoy it while you're getting it.
And you get that Juan Francisco syndrome right there, where you get fished in with some of the results in maybe a limited sample size. And we've seen that Juan Francisco now, he's getting exposed to the amount of strikeouts, although he still can't hit the long ball and is dangerous occasionally. But again, you kind of want to curb your enthusiasm, so to speak, on a guy like Kawasaki. Fantastic right now. Where would the Blue Jays be without Munenori Kawasaki right now? And even, as the caller mentioned, the 8-game hit streak as well. But when Brett Laurie does come back, everybody's saying you desperately need an infielder, and I'm not against that as well. But does Kawasaki deserve a shot to stay at the two-bag, Jeff?
Well, you got a little,
I don't know.
Got a little taste at third yesterday. Maybe we'll see a little bit more of that. Robert in Niagara Falls on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Robert, the spark plug for the Toronto Blue Jays. Who do you expect it to be, especially with Brett Laurie out of the lineup?
The only person they've got for a spark plug is Reyes. Brett Laurie, you guys are reading way too much stock into this guy. He's batting 240. He's been up here 3 years, and he's done nothing. I'd trade him for three pitchers, a pitcher of milk, pitcher of water, and a pitcher of orange juice. He's garbage. And once everybody realizes that this guy's all foam and no beer, we'll be a better situation because he's too much of a distraction for this team.
Robert, have you?
I wouldn't have him in the dugout for love nor money.
Robert, have you enjoyed his time at third base? Because he certainly has looked good this year.
Defensively, fine. I have no problem with the guy's defense. He's off the wall with talent. But offensively, you got to have a bat. Adrian Beltre would be great there. I can take Brett Laurie at second base batting 240. We won a World Series with Manny Lee batting 200. But he didn't have nobody on this team. You don't have Olerud, Molitor, Carter, Devon White batting in front of him. We can't take that with
Pat Borders getting no love.
We need help.
Robert, thank you for the call. Yeah, I would certainly like to see the average come up for Brett Laurie, but it's not to say that, that he wouldn't be a spark plug this year for the Toronto Blue Jays, or has been. I mean, there's a lot of intangibles that get thrown into it, and I get what he's saying. And yeah, I think he's right, where I think you could look at a 244 average and say, yeah, we take that out of second base over third base. But as far as energy goes, you ask anybody with the Toronto Blue Jays about Brett Laurie, and they'll tell you, and they'll honestly tell you. Obviously, he's a teammate, right. So maybe their opinion is slightly slanted. You might think that. But you ask anybody out there, and they'd love to have Brett Laurie on their club.
We talk about Tony Gose and how young he is. Trying to throw that out there.
Tony Gose.
Let's
just keep
that going. 23 years old. Brett Laurie's 24.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about the raw talent. We were just talking about it. The raw talent with Anthony Gose and Tony Gose. He's 23 years old. He has all these things to learn. But Brett Laurie's only 24. We still haven't seen the best of Brett Laurie. And wouldn't you want to see, but the caller would not want to see that with the Toronto Blue Jays. But he still has plenty to learn, not only at the plate. And we've seen Brett Laurie improve throughout the season. His mm-hmm. power numbers were coming up. His batting average was getting better as yep. well. Brett Laurie was improving, minus the bad luck with his hand injury, which does happen in baseball. You get plunked off the hand and broken bones do happen. But Brett Laurie's only 24, and that's another guy we forget how young he actually is, because he's been a name that we've heard a lot of, and he's such a polarizing figure with the Toronto Blue Jays. Give Brett Laurie some more time as well. He's only 24 years old.
I think his numbers would be better if not for that poor start. I think he's digging a hole to get out of that. And just as he was getting around to doing that, we see him lost injury. Too bad. Hopefully he could pick up where he left off when he comes back. Mike in Toronto on the Jeff Blair Show. What you got, Mike?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
One guy who I haven't heard any names out is Melky Cabrera. He's played excellent this year, I thought, and for what he played last year, other than when he was hurt, obviously. But he's a guy who we're going to lose in the offseason because he's playing so well. And yet no one really seems to talk about him here in Toronto.
Mike, thank you. Melky is someone that, while he hadn't been the topic per se on our show in talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, we have talked about Melky over the last couple of days and the fear of losing him for next year. But, of course, you know, we're focused on this year and what the Blue Jays could do this year to improve their club. But yeah, Melky, in talking about the year that he has had, and we've brushed on it earlier in the hour, George, that he's been that rock steady guy, that dependable guy. In this lineup, deficiencies they might have and the slumping that the offense might have gone into, you could still rely on Melky Cabrera in that lineup. If you're hitting him second, if you're hitting him third, he's been a guy. He's been a guy that you could really depend on with the Toronto Blue Jays offense.
And not to mention his defense has been pretty good.
Yeah, he is what he is, not a liability per se.
No, absolutely not. And we saw him, you know, heavy-legged last season. And that was the epitome of what heavy-legged meant, when you saw Melky Cabrera try to jog around the outfield to make a catch. But we've seen him make some really good plays this season. And not to mention what he's doing with the bat. He's been absolutely fantastic. And just a glue in that middle of the lineup and at the top of the lineup. And to me, if you're a guy like Reyes, you got to love the fact, when you look at the on-deck circle, Melky Cabrera is right there, because consistently he's been, you know, one of the best Blue Jays, if not the best Blue Jay offensively all season. And I just can't imagine him not being in left field for Toronto next season.
Nice to see a lot of contributions last night and a couple of spark plugs in the game last night. Certainly Jose Reyes, Anthony Gose, amongst those that you would describe. as such. Thank you for all the calls. The Blue Jays winning 7-3 last night over the Boston Red Sox. We'll have game number 3 of the series tonight at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. If you need the visuals, you can get them on Sportsnet. And by the way, John Gibbons, Blue Jays manager, is going to join Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Joe Siddle at 12:15. So make sure you tune into that on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet Ontario and East as well. As we continue this hour, we continue the focus with the Toronto Blue Jays and a former Blue Jay in Jesse Litch. Yeah, we'll get his thoughts on the current Toronto Blue Jays as he saw them last night at the Rogers Centre. But it was the first time he returned to the Rogers Centre while not being a player. So curious to get what that perspective was like and what that feeling was like from Jesse Litch, as he'll join us ahead this hour on the Jeff Blair Show. With George Russick, I'm Jeff Sammet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's 9:43, the Jeff Blair Show with George Russick. I'm Jeff Sambit, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Lots of baseball on the show. Rob Nyer of Fox Sports is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. We look forward to that. Certainly a different experience last night, George, at the Rogers Center for one individual and friend to the show returning to the place he once worked, returning to the place he once played and delighted many a Blue Jay fan. Trying to make a comeback and coming back to the Rogers Center last night for the first time since his playing days, our good friend Jesse Litch, formerly of the Blue Jays, joining us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So, Jesse, what was that experience like? Take us to at least the lead up in going to the Rogers Center, the decision to go yesterday, the reason why you were going, and how it felt to walk through those doors for the first time as a non-player.
Well, I mean, it was pretty simple. The family said they were thinking about going to a game. I was like, I'll go with you. I can probably manage to get us some tickets too. And Tex Bautista was able to leave me 6 tickets. And you know, walking in the doors, it was different. It was definitely, I had never been on the outside before a game. So that was definitely a different experience. But I mean, all in all, it was okay. I'm not one of those guys that are going to get like emotionally and whatever about it, but it was definitely, you know, bittersweet, but it's something you got to deal with. And you know, it is what it is.
Jesse, did you get emotional when you had to drop $12 for a tall boy?
That's nuts. That is, I mean, I don't drink beer, but I heard everyone around, I was like, geez, for a little 16-ounce beer, it was like $10.25. It's nuts.
Well, when Billy Koch retired, do you know Billy Koch?
I've met him like once.
All right. So when Billy Koch, after he was out of baseball, he came back and watched the Blue Jays and Rays at Tampa, and he showed up at the game wearing an Aubrey Huff jersey. And joked with the Toronto bullpen crew and was heckling the Blue Jays and stuff. Did you do anything like that? Any performance like that from you yesterday?
No, it's kind of hard at this. In Tampa, it's really easy. I mean, you can walk down. They're sitting down the line. Here, it's, you know, they're underneath the backdrop over the outfield fence. So it's kind of different here. And, you know, to walk down the stairs in the outfield stands is a little difficult, but there's nobody at the games in Tampa, so it's a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about nobody there, but a pretty good crowd last night at Rogers Center. What was the atmosphere to you like there?
Oh, it was good. I mean, it was definitely a different, you know, crowd, different vibe. That's what happens when you're winning, and they're in a little rut right now. But and it's they're within 3.5 games of first place. So, I mean, that's one thing about Toronto is they're going to be there if we're definitely if they're in the hunt. I mean, sometimes during the games for baseball, but definitely in the hunt. As I mean, in 2008, we kind of went through that also.
So you texted Bautista for tickets. Did you maybe hop into the clubhouse onto the field during batting practice or something? Talk to any of the guys?
No. I'm low key. I don't need to do all that stuff. I'll hang out with them in the off season. It's one of those things. Bautista lives near me also, so we'll be golfing in the off season. So it's just there's nothing really. I was offered to go down there. I had no interest. One step at a time, I guess.
Yeah, you're talking about one step at a time, Jesse, and your hopes of returning to pitch in the major leagues. I don't think a lot of people realize it. Jesse, you're a young man. You're only 29 years old. Lots of gas left in that arm, isn't there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say much gas. It's kind of one of those fuel efficients right now. But we'll try and
hybrid
work with it.
Where are you at right now, Jesse, as far as your recovery and working out and getting back on the mound?
I mean, just working out, trying a bunch of different stuff. September 1st, I'm going to try throwing. Whether or not it works, I'm going to make a decision October 1st whether or not to stay at it or basically retire. So it's time to make a decision, and it's been a long time, and hopefully it works out. But if it doesn't, then on to the next thing.
Jesse, a guy on the mound tonight had issues with his arm and then learned a trick pitch in R.A. Dickey with the knuckleball. Have you toyed with the knuckleball? And has that ever crossed your mind that, maybe I can start throwing that out there?
I mean, it's crossed everybody's mind. Everybody wants to try to throw a knuckleball. But for me, I mean, I've been offered coaching jobs, and I was to a point where I couldn't even throw batting practice. So throwing a ball 60 feet with knuckle is not – it wasn't in the picture then. Who knows, it may be in the picture now. If I start throwing September and I'm only throwing like 80 miles an hour, I might try and throw a knuckleball for sure.
Do you wake up this morning with a little bit more of a drive, having been at the Rogers Center last night and seeing your former club on the field?
Ah, yeah, definitely. I mean, anything's a drive. It's all – I'm big motivation. And it's one of those things where – you see them out there, you know you should be there, you could be there, but unfortunate circumstances have kept me from that. I mean, but it's one of those, it's just something that it was out of my control. I got an infection from a doctor, so there's nothing really I could have done about it differently.
And how do you feel physically, though? How does the arm feel? Are you 100% healthy? Jeff talks about waking up, but when you wake up in the morning, are you completely fine?
No. I mean, my arm pretty much hurts every day, but it's something hopefully we're breaking up scar tissue. I don't know, there's a lot of hopes out there. Searching for a miracle, as Dr. Andrews said.
Keeping an eye on the current Toronto Blue Jays, are you watching these guys? Are you watching them play? I know you keep in touch with a lot of them, but are you watching them every once in a while and keeping an eye on what they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I watch the games. I go over the box score, everything, and I was happy to see Sanchez got called up. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, you can follow pretty much the whole game on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. And as far as, and we've got about 30 seconds here, Jesse, but as far as team needs, is there a need you feel the Toronto Blue Jays should address via the trade route?
I mean, I wouldn't be against them going to get Beltre and, you know, making Lowry the everyday second baseman. That would be a slugfest, you know, here in Toronto, balls fly. That would be a good thing.
Former Blue Jay Jesse Lynch. Jesse, thanks for jumping on this morning, and best of luck in the comeback.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, we'll keep in touch. There's Jesse Lynch of the Toronto Blue Jays. Now,
only 29 years old.
Yeah, he just had some bad luck there. And I'm really rooting for the guy because you can't find a nicer guy, and hopefully that's it's going to work out for Jesse. But, you know, not even getting back to the major leagues, whatever he's going to do, I just hope he's happy in the next thing he does. And if it is baseball or something else, I hope he's good at the next thing. He's had opportunities, as he talked about, coaching, throwing, but it would require throwing BP, and he couldn't even do that. So hopefully his next opportunity is going to be just a good fit for Jesse Lynch. And we'll check back in with him, like in a month and change or so, and see what the throwing is like, and then see what ultimately his decision is going to be. Now, it's an interesting story down south, and scheduled to join us Chris Cluey in about 10 minutes' time. An NFL punter, well, he's trying to be once again. He claims that the Minnesota Vikings cut him in May 2013 due to his vocal support of same-sex marriage. And investigations done by the Minnesota Vikings, their investigation claims otherwise, that it was for only football reasons. It's a real big mess that Chris is now pursuing a lawsuit against the Minnesota Vikings, I believe, starting today. So Chris Cluey is scheduled to join us in about 10 minutes' time, and we'll talk to Chris. So with George Russick, I'm Jeff Sammet. It's the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.